Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast for episode 169. Today it is Oliver Hoyer and I in the studio. And I think George is going to be, Geordie hopefully is joining us in a little bit via the old FaceTime down in New Zealand. He still is. But we do have a lot of fun stuff to talk about today. There's a good assortment of random topics. And then also this is Houston Race Week. So big thing going on in my life.
Big thing going on in all of our lives. What are you talking about? It's huge.
And there's a lot of fun stuff now that we're getting. Things are heating up. It's simmering. I can feel the pot is simmering. It's going to be coming to a boil soon.
The smells are starting to come out. There's this waving through the house that is the OAC running house.
That house. Exactly. But before we get into it, we do have a couple of bean shout-outs. Ollie, would you like to go first?
I'd love to. This is from our close friend, Derek Rubis. Obviously, big fan of us in college, and we're a big fan of him. And he sent us a punk Bunny Coffee, American Idiot by Green Day, medium roast whole bean, which looks, I love the bag. It's very cool. Thank you very much, Derek. We really appreciate you and all your support that you've given us. And these beans will grow very quickly with the three of us. Well, I guess the two of us now because Geordie's, still in New Zealand. But thank you so much, Derek. And exciting.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Rubis. We do appreciate it. And our second one comes from Matt and his dog Preston.
Ooh.
And he sent along a really nice card with it, so I'll read it out to you quickly because you're going to absolutely love this. It says, Ollie, Morgan, George, and Gus, Happy New Year. This summer, I went with a few friends from my running club in DC to Vermont for a little work from home trip. We ran on dirt roads through covered bridges, then dipped in the creek to cool off. On our last day, there was a small farmer's market in the town square. One vendor was a man with two small sons selling coffee beans they roasted in their garage. They named this roast after their pug, Gus. So I bought two bags, one for me and one for Coffee Club. I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. So this is the three pugs roastery, the Gus blend.
The three pugs roastery. My parents would love that as well. Well, that's unreal.
So thank you very much, our good friend Matt Farrow. Appreciate it. And Preston.
Matt and Preston, thank you both.
The boys, we do appreciate it a lot. So Ollie and I were just discussing like where to go first, and
it's up to you, Morgs. You can steer the ship here.
I think we're gonna do some check-ins with us, and I think maybe it's best to wait for George to start them off at least.
For sure.
So that means if we skip that, then we have some good random topics to get to, which will be lots of fun for the two of us. It's actually been, so we didn't record last week because we had the Woody doubleheader pod, which both of those episodes
takes up a lot of time when it comes to Woody. So we're very fortunate for that.
Yeah, both of those were actually pretty electric in the end. I didn't realize that we talked for so long.
Well, it just having Woody as a guest is, I know it's been for us one of our dreams to get on, and he did not disappoint one bit. It was just like it just flowed so well that we realized, wow, it's been going for a while.
He stole the show.
He should do a podcast. He's unreal.
Well, the thing is, he had one, and so everyone should go and abuse him, harass him, and tell him to start up the Price of a Mile podcast.
Yeah.
Because that man is.
Or we can just get, maybe Gus can hire him. Yeah. Gus and Tom can get an agreement and hire him as an extra coffee club in
Flagstaff.
Branch. Coffee club intern or coffee club correspondent in Flagstaff.
That'd be. To die for.
Yeah.
But yeah, after all that fun, it's been a little bit since we have chatted. So there has been a bit that's happening. And the first one, which has been making some waves, is it was actually just yesterday, I think, that Shelby's ban ended. And I think we have to talk about it. I think our first podcast was probably talking about her.
Yep.
Or something to do with Bauman. It is kind of ironic because so FloTrack has been posting a lot of stuff. I think they have like a documentary.
It's called Shelby Houlihan Rising.
Yeah.
And I think it comes out at some point in January maybe.
And I'm not sure. A lot of the comments are about like, you guys shouldn't even give her attention as a media outlet because you shouldn't be, I guess, in a way like supporting convicted dopers. And so then we were like, Well, because it's something that we would naturally talk about on a run.
Which is what we're, yeah, yeah.
But then we're like, wait, I guess if we talk about it on the podcast, we're kind of doing the exact same thing.
We're promoting it, yeah. We're giving it attention, I guess.
So, but we were like, how can we not talk about it?
It's such a big news. It's our big story and a big thing that a lot of people have been discussing. And it's interesting for me, seeing the 4 years go past, it feels like it's been pretty quick.
Real quick somehow.
But I'm sure it hasn't felt quick for her at all. And regardless, I guess my viewpoint with it is, I strongly feel a way in which I kind of agree with those comments, but I also think like it's a lose-lose situation, unfortunately, or overall. Like, you promote her to try and tell a story and to promote the sport in the general. It's a loss if you're promoting somebody that maybe is not the most positive situation, and it's also a negative if you just don't cover something like that and they come through and start winning things and start returning back to the sport, and there's no information about it. I don't know. It's a weird topic to discuss.
We know she's going to be racing pretty soon.
Yeah.
Like, she's probably going to do some big indoor races. I don't know where. That's the thing. Her situation is so crazy. It's like, I don't even know. Like, a big meet's going to have her, or is they going to like be like, no, like, we can't have you? I mean, they probably will, I guess, because there's been a lot of like other convicted dopers that have been let back in.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know this personally. I know Dathan and some other people have told me this, but I think World Marathon have rules that they can turn away people that have been convicted of doping. But most other track and field stuff, I don't think they can turn her away if she's done her time. So she's going to be on the track. And I mean, with how good Shelby was before the ban, like, she might make an American team. And then what's that going to look like, you know, for a lot of athletes? And for her, she's going to be tested vigorously. There's no way she's just going to be like not tested here. So if she runs and does well and is successful and tests come through and she's clean, then how do you argue against that? Whereas if she does run terribly, then people are going to be like, oh, she was, you know, it was only good because she was on the, it's still a lose-lose some ways.
I don't know how it works. I'm pretty sure that when you're serving a drug ban, you still get tested. I don't know how, like, if they come more or less. It's an interesting one to kind of think about. But
she got tested, I think she got tested, this is also information from when I was talking to the guys about it, just because you can look it up, apparently it's all public.
Oh yeah.
18 times in 18 or 16 times between 2021 2022. I don't know if it's
so like a like quite a lot. But I don't know if you saw this, but like she was training really hard the whole time.
Yeah.
And she was doing some really impressive time trials. So she's definitely fit. I mean, it has been 4 years now, and she was like, 4 years ago, she'd already been good for a really long time. Mm. Like, I think she got really good in like 2016. I remember her doing really well. So it'll be interesting, like, where she's at with things now, because it seems like she just kept training hard, but
even mentally, where she's at.
Mentally, I think she just wants to go on a little revenge tour.
Yeah.
And she still has, a strong group of people that, like, it's definitely a big minority, but that support her a lot, because all her Bauman teammates, well, not all of them, but most of them stood by her the whole time. And I mean, the thing is, like, when we talked about it, her story has layers to it, right? There's the doping layer. There's the failing the drug test layer. There's still the doping layer. But then there's also, like, the story layer. Mm. And we kind of talked more about the story and all that stuff, which really did her a big... It made things way worse, the fact that they tried to come up with this burrito story.
Yeah, and they didn't capitalize on it like your idea.
They didn't even make a food truck. Or they didn't even hire the food truck.
No, which is disappointing, Morgan. I thought you would have seen some sort of progress.
It's a no-brainer, isn't it? Come on, you got to make some lemonade out of this situation. Yeah. But the thing is, she had a long post about like her ban being over, as you would expect. And still, like, the story is... she still even mentioned the burrito in that post. I'm like, come on, you gotta stop mentioning that. But she did more kind of admit like that she's more saying like she doesn't know how it happened. Like the thing is, she's always claimed that she doesn't claim that she was well, I mean, maybe she does claim that she was clean, but she claims that she has no idea how it got in her system, which I believe. Like, I actually do believe that. I think, just because I know, like, enough people that I really trust have told me that they trust her. So I don't say 100% believe it, but I feel like I can see that happening, that it was unintentional.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's definitely possible.
Yeah.
But then all the extra stuff that they did in terms of making up this story
makes it way worse.
It's just so much worse.
Makes it way worse.
And I,
they thought, we'll dig ourselves out of this hole, but we're gonna make the hole wider.
They that's made what the it hole felt like. A lot wider.
A lot wider.
And so I do feel bad for her in some ways.
It seems like she wasn't correct, like properly kind of looked after, in the sense of like, okay, you're going through this. This is how you need to handle it, or this is how you need to portray it to the media or to the public, or this. Like, it seems like she wasn't given that support there.
Yeah, well,
because it seems like she's like, oh, Brito story, and then it's like, this is not a good idea.
It seemed like she was so convinced of her innocence and her ability to prove, I guess, her innocence that they thought that the only way that, because it happened on the Olympic year, it was so dramatic. If you remember, I think it came out at the trials. Or
her
something.
Name was still on the star list. Yeah, so there was dramatic. A lot of drama around that.
And I guess they were like, the only way that she's going to be able to run is if we make up this story. So that's why they did it. So, and that I can't really forgive, because it's, you know, that if she had been honest with it, I think more people would have probably been on her side.
Yeah,
I think so. If she had said, I mean, there would still be so many people who don't believe her, and that's, I mean, she, you know, she failed a drug test. So it's like, okay, that's completely fair enough. You know, how can you, that's the hard thing with dope is like, obviously they're all going to say that they were clean pretty much. And
yeah. It's
like, you're not going to believe most of them. This case, like we happen to know like people that were close to her that do believe her. So like, that's kind of like why I guess I'm more open to like trusting in this situation. But yeah, then all the extra stuff that add on top of it is just like, come on, you kind of ruined it for a bit. So, but now she has served her time, 4 years. And I think she's going to, I don't know like who she's training with.
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, coaching wise, do you wonder if Jerry will coach her, take her back in, or
I think she doesn't have a sponsor right now. So I think her coaching situation is probably dependent on if a sponsor ends up picking her up. But that's do you think a sponsor will pick her up?
I think if she performs well, they will, but I don't think she'll be getting paid very much. She might be getting gear and some bonuses or incentives, and they'd have strong contracts where, like, if you test positive, go on. But every contract has that.
Yeah, all contracts are the same.
I don't know. It depends on what brand wants to take a risk on her.
There's going to be a lot of negativity that comes with whoever
sponsors her. For sure. It's got to be a brand that doesn't give a rat's ass, which seems like it would be like a Nike or a bigger brand, you know, that can take the negative press when it comes to that. It's an interesting situation, because for her, she knows herself. We don't really know herself as well as she does. So she's going to go in there thinking, I'm going to try and prove to the public that, you know, I'm back and this was a wrongdoing, or like, I don't know how this happened. And that's going to be a difficult task for her to do, particularly at this point in her career, because it's not like early days, you know, anymore. And that's going to be a really hard challenge for her to not, I think, I don't think she, maybe she doesn't really care about the public's opinion, but I'm sure it matters.
It has
as a clean, like, not being a clean athlete, right? Somebody that's tested positive for a substance and had a ban, the public opinion isn't going to be very positive. So that's going to be a very, very tough, tough arena.
Yeah, I would say. Hard for her. Well, it's been hard for a while now, and it's going to stay hard. But I think, yeah, the only chance that she really has of turning the narrative is by just going out there and racing well. And yeah, maybe eventually then a brand will support her. We'll see.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. And obviously, it's not going to be after the first year. It's going to be multiple years of racing and then staying away from the negative or the drug testing and stuff like that. She's going to have to be tested a lot, and then people will hopefully feel like, oh yeah, she's clean now, she's good. But
yeah, but once you've had a drug test,
that's it. I feel like you're not gonna
have life. Like, yeah, no one, like, there's a lot of people out there who never trust you again, and I think that's how I feel about certain athletes. So I completely understand that point of view. So for a lot of people, it's probably already like game over, which is just the way it is.
Probably how businesses feel when this convicted felons come back to try and work, and they're like, nope.
Yeah, not gonna fall for that again.
Not gonna fall for that.
But yeah, so that'll be interesting to see how it goes. And
you're going to watch the documentary?
Maybe. I'll see how the reviews are. I'll check the Rotten
Tomatoes. Check the Rotten Tomatoes, see if it's certified fresh.
Nah, I don't know. I don't really know if... I don't know if I want to.
That was the one thing I was curious... Because I don't know if I want to support it, but I also kind of want to know, you know? Yeah. Which is a hard internal battle as an athlete.
I can imagine... I can guess how the documentary is going
to
go.
It's going to be cited to her, like, oh, this is...
Well, it's just going to be her saying, like, her story, which we've already heard, and how hard it was and stuff, so... I guess that's what I would guess how it's going to go. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. I think it's also one thing just to remember how good she was before it happened.
Does she still have the American record?
I don't know if she has any of the American records still. I don't think so. I think Alicia.
What about the 1500 one? That one was kind of insane.
Well, 1500. Wow, we're looking pretty stupid here. I feel like...
It was like 354, 350.
Maybe she does, but they've definitely run close to it. But yeah, back then, back before the ban, she was so dominant as like the 1500 5K because she had that nasty kick and then also, yeah, could run with anyone. So the landscape has changed a lot. I'm pretty interested as to how her competitors are going to treat her. That's going to be an interesting one.
Yeah, I mean... How would you go about it? I would just ignore it.
I guess it just depends on the specific person, because if there was someone that I was racing against who I like really felt like was a drug cheat, I would probably ignore them.
Yeah.
I would not be nice to them.
Well,
you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't go up and say fuck you, but I would probably just
ignore them.
Like if
Mo try not to shake their hands.
If Mokatir, for example, comes back in the 5K and you're in the claw room with him, like, I'm probably just going to ignore him. I mean, I didn't really talk to him initially in the first place. Vamos. But, yeah, I'd probably just ignore him. I'm sure she's going to be isolated. There's no doubts about that. And particularly with the American women, for sure. I mean, yeah, it would be interesting dynamic. We'll see what happens.
Because it is definitely extra pressure on all the people that she races against as well. Because, yeah, they're going to be feeling all these... this wide array of emotions as well. So it'll be very, very interesting.
Mm.
But we'll see. We did have a... I don't know how candidly we can talk about this, but from the Discord, Mr. Alberto Salad Bar.
Great name. Great name.
I think from Let's Run. They wanted us to talk about some of the contract extensions / non-renewals that have occurred in the last few weeks. And they mentioned the fall of UTI, Team Boss, etc., Tin Man.
Well, look,
they're all specific cases.
I'll say it now. You've heard it here first. We acquired them. Coffee Club has taken in everyone that's left, and we have acquired them, and we are starting our own track team called Gus's Gussies.
We're paying the big money.
We're paying the big bucks. It's all in Dogecoin, though. So
it's really dependent on if Elon Musk mentions it or not.
Yeah, and then we're going to pay him. No, I mean, that is it's a contract year. So this
that changed.
This is my first time through. Is this your... When?
Well, I had a kind of weird one because I swapped like midway through my Under Armour contract to On. So this is kind of like my first time through a regular contract cycle. And that we mean like the Olympic cycle. Yeah. Most contracts, not all of them, but most of them are tied to the Olympic 4-year cycles or something of that nature.
So a lot changes after 4 years. Sometimes a lot changes. Sometimes things stay the same. From what I've experienced, I guess, with this year. We're very fortunate that our team's very fortunate that we're staying the same, and that to me is something that's extremely special and should not be taken for granted, because we're very lucky to have our teammates and pretty much our friends and everything being extended for another 4 years to Los Angeles. That's an amazing thing, and then we've signed in some even more amazing people. So for us, it's very, very, very positive, and for others, it's just a different journey, different people going to different places and exploring that. I think I'm not sure what else I can report on it, because I don't want to spread things, but I know Team Boss has been a few ladies that they've not retired from running. Some are moving on to new adventures. So
the nature of a beast for a team like Team Boss is that it is like, because it's not a team that is supported by a brand, it creates a lot of extra challenges from the financial standpoint. Like, our team, relatively straightforward in terms of, you know, like on pays Dathan and pays for a team budget, which supports all of us. And so, you know, it's very stable and reliable in that way. Whereas other teams like Team Boss, they don't have that. But I mean, I guess their positive is that like they can have people sponsored from a variety of brands, which is cool in some ways. But yeah, it means that the stability isn't quite the same. Mm. And I don't know, you can go check out their Instagram, see who's running with them now. It's like, it's not as many people as it once was. Mm. But it's just because, as Ollie already said, like the individuals are all in different paths in their running career and different points. And some people retired, some people making moves after the Olympic year. So for them, I feel like there's nothing really to say. The big one probably is the Union Track Club, because...
Yeah. I didn't realize that. I thought that was going to, like, I mean, we've been talking about, I thought it was going to happen. They're moving the Boulder. They're trying to take our turf.
Yeah, it was attempted.
Nothing's come about.
Yeah, so Pete just actually posted on his Instagram recently that the group is no longer like a Nike sponsored group. He's no longer, I guess, on a contract with Nike is how I interpret that. So, I mean, I like Pete, you know, I think he seems like a nice guy and he seems like a good coach. Unfortunately, that team just like hasn't really been able to get it together. And so he says that he's continuing like with the team, but it's just no longer, it's no longer tied to a specific brand. So it'll be interesting.
Flex Elite's taking that funding, baby. Yeah. They've taken that funding.
Mike Smith just...
Look, I my opinion on that is, I think when they did the whole rebranding with the UTI, when they did all that sort of stuff, that's when they should have made that move to Boulder potentially, because
it's probably a better time. More people
when,
there.
Yeah, strike when the iron's hot, they can get the motivation.
Should
the
have stayed with the name Pete's Dragons.
Pete's Dragons, get a dragon emblem would have been dope. Because I felt like that's where maybe the start of the end kind of happened, where they had this big rebranding, but then nothing really changed. And
then every year, like a few people left.
Yeah, people started to move on. And I think people were just maybe not particularly happy with the setup, not maybe necessarily the coaching or anything like that, but maybe they just, the setup wasn't what they were looking for anymore. And that's just a tough situation for it. But I was looking forward to another team coming in, because I feel like that's
going to be interesting.
Yeah, it was going to be a kind of cool thing to see another team there. It's a shame, but hopefully.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting if like he's able to recruit some other athletes. We know he's still coaching Suguru. Suguru lives out here. Mm-hmm. And I think he still coaches, I'm blanking on the name. Is it the Haley, the CU girl?
Yeah, and then Raven Rogers, is she still coached by him?
I don't think so.
Or she moved? Oh, should we move to LA?
So. I think she left a while ago. I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard because they're all in different places.
But yeah, but so he...
Donovan's mine though. Donovan's mine. You guys know this. I'm still coaching Donovan. He's doing very well.
How's he? Yeah, is he doing all right?
He's doing great. 110 mile weeks with fishing.
Lots of fishing.
Yeah.
But the way that it could potentially play out is maybe he could attract some people to come train with Suguru.
Marathon.
Because if you were a decent marathoner and you wanted to come live in Boulder and have like a good training partner, like Suguru obviously is a great place to start. And I think, you know, Pete's had actually quite a lot of success coaching Suguru, so he definitely has experience coaching the marathon side of it. So it'd be interesting if he could go down that avenue and maybe
build a marathon team.
Yeah, light a bit of a fire under it, get it going. 100%. That'd be nice to see as well. And Tinman, we can't really say anything about Tinman.
Yeah, well, I don't really know. But shout out to Sam Parsnips, engaged. Congratulations. That's pretty hectic. But other than that, not much to say about Tinfoil. But, I mean, we love Tinfoil. We love them. They're neighbors to us, and we're hoping that...
We're in their old office, their old studio.
Yeah, they're in their old studio. So,
we just gave away. We just leaked our studio location.
Yeah, but they don't know which studio. Tinman have multiple studios.
They have a lot of studios.
Yeah, they do. They do quite well. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with Tinman.
But that's not really for us to.
That's not for us to
talk about. So yeah, that's kind of it. It is always an interesting transition period, but for us, luckily, things are staying most of the same.
Yeah.
So we'll be here. You can count on that. All right, Josh Kerr. Haven't spoken about him in far too long.
He's becoming the Mike Smith. We're starting to talk about him a lot.
Yeah, he's... I actually think that he does half of the stuff that he does just so people will talk about him. I think that's kind of like the game he likes to play.
Yeah, he listens to all the media. When are they going to talk about me?
But he's... I mean, where do we begin? He must have been an interview with Citrus Mag or something like that. I don't know if it was...
I think it was with
Grand
Citrus
Slam.
Mag. Or Grand Slam or something.
I don't know. But there were some clips that caught our eyes...
caught everyone's eyes, to be honest.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about the A-Ruff one first? He just decided to be mean to A-Ruff. It's like, bro.
Yeah, so I don't know A-Ruff that well, but when I've been in Diamond League, he's the nicest guy ever.
He's the nicest
guy. Like, super nice. Like, just overly stereotypical Canadian. Super nice guy. And then Josh was just being completely mean about him with the 15. It's like, dude, A-Rob ran like a half marathon in like a pretty reasonable time. And he's obviously been training and says like, oh,
he's run fast 15 before.
Yeah, he's run a fast 15. I can't remember what the time is, but he's like, oh, with my ability of what he runs, which is insanely fast 800, I think I can run a pretty close to 330, even under 1500. And honestly, I kind of agree.
Yeah. I didn't think that was that far-fetched.
I don't think that was a far-fetched thing to say.
No.
He's not saying he's running 327. He's not saying that. He's saying that he'd be close to 330 or under. And then Josh just thought that was just insane.
He didn't like it. He didn't like it. He said it was laughable.
And I don't know.
I don't know the exact context, but he shots fired at A-Rob. He's like, nah, there's no way.
He's already starting enemies.
330. And it's like, dude, I'm going to enjoy watching this guy kick your butt so much.
Dude, I honestly reckon A-Rob could win all four of them. Because the 800, I just don't see any of them beating him.
Yeah.
In a tactical race. A-Rob's
if it was like super tactical, maybe. That's the only... And the thing is, I'm sure that some of the challenges will be 800 guys. Good, like really good 800 guys as well. So that's like the only thing that I could see getting in the way of A-Rob. But also, I could... Let's say, for example, the 800 is the first race. If he goes out in like a 49 or a 50, like... How are they going to feel about it?
Dude, Yared will still be on the line. He'd be like, I'm not going to speed up until like 600, like, you know. 600.
Yeah, I just thought, and this goes on to the other one, because his other statement was about Jakob, and I think the context of this one was something on the lines of them asking like if he'd be, I don't even know, like excited for Jakob to line up or if he would like
Jakob like a challenger
to be in Grand Slam. And he was pretty much just saying, Jakob would have no chance at winning, and he said he would love to see him race against them in an 800. And my thing with this, I'd like to hear your thing after, but my thing, because he also mentioned, yeah, Jakob would probably be more suited in the 3K, 5K group, as if that was like an insult. I just find it so funny that like Josh Kerr has all this specific beef with Jakob, like specific to the 1500, and then Jakob just like wins the 5K as well. Like completely outside of the beef, and like he doesn't even like ask for credit for it or anything, and like Kerr doesn't even like he's the most dominant like 3K 5K runner like in the world like ever, like, and that's even against all these other world record holders. Like in a championship race, like none of them would be close to beating him. Like no shit, Jakob would go and destroy the 3K 5K Grand Slam group, but like, why are you saying that as if that's like an insult? That's like a good thing. Like he could go do that. If he was in the 3K, 5K group, he would probably have probably like the best odds out of anyone to win overall.
Both.
Like
every time.
He probably would be like that.
Without a pacer, 100%.
That's how good he is at those like events specifically. I mean, I honestly think he could probably run like a 5K world record, but yeah, specifically like in championship racing, he's so hard to beat. He ran fucking 7:17 last year. Like,
which is like, he broke the 3K world record, which honestly, in my opinion, and I'm sure yours too, Morgs, is like the hardest, one of the hardest outdoor records there were.
Yeah.
7:20 had not been touched.
Yeah.
No one got close to it. And he got 3 seconds under it. It was insane.
He destroyed it. And like, yeah, I think Jakob would struggle in the 8:15 group.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that's what suits him. But at the same time, it's like, bro, I think he'd do well.
Jakob's still around 146.
Like, I think he'd
still
do very
really
well.
Good.
Yeah.
And like, the end of the day, if it's tactical, it's probably better for him.
Yeah.
Honestly, because he'd just sit and then he'll just try and close out and get as high up to the top, because it's not winning both races. If he gets up there in the 8 and he's top 3 or 4 and then he just wins the 15, he will probably win the whatever the championship, the slam. He'll get slammed. He'll slam everyone.
He'll get slammed.
Josh, it was deer on ice. He said, watching Rocket win 800 would be in deer on ice. Yep. And when I hear this stuff, you think, oh, there's a beef, this rivalry's unreal. To be honest, looking at the past few times, it's just Josh saying shit and then Jakob responding. Yeah. It feels like a one-sided beef where Jakob doesn't really care, but then if he gets attacked by Josh, he's going to retaliate. He's going to respond.
Yeah.
The only comment I can think of where Jakob did say something, and I don't know if he was attacked by this, but he did say the blindfold comment. Which was funny, because then people gave him shit for it. Which, I mean, there's going to be beefs where people make fun of Josh and people make fun of Jakob. That's just the good thing about our sport. We keep people humble, or we try to at least.
Yeah.
But it feels like it's very one-sided, where Josh is trying to jab at him. And then I think Jakob's response was like, when he goes into world record, or when he contributes to world record racing, then I'll take him seriously or something like
yeah.
that. Which is also a weird comment, because I know it's not a world record, but he did run the 2 mile world best indoors, which is like, it's
he
not-
He did do that. But you know that Jakob's talking about
like actual outdoor world records, like the big dog records, which Josh hasn't really run, but Josh has run 3:27. He's run some pretty incredible times, and it's just funny though, because it feels like Josh is really trying to poke the bear.
Well, it seems a little bit. Yeah, and both of them are doing it in sort of a smart way, where they're playing into their own strengths, because Kurt is one of the best, like he'd be one of the best 1500 meter runners at running the 800.
Yeah,
like he would be. So obviously the format of Grand Slam does suit him a lot, and then Jakob, he's the best at running trying to run world records by a long way. I mean, he's doing it. He's running world records. He hasn't got the 1500 meter one, which he's tried many times. He's gotten pretty close.
3:26. Monaco.
He's done very well, and that's what he is so dominant at. So it's funny that they're both attacking the other person just by they're both sticking to what their strengths are, which I guess is how you want to do it. But at the end of the day, I think Jakob is still, there's a reason Jakob has transcended just like being a good 1500 meter runner, you know?
He's a generational figure that's going to be, people are going to be talking about him long after he's retired.
Yeah.
And that's just because he's earned that. And I also think that this, Morgan, really is a love story. I think it's a love story. I think these are two star-crossed lovers that are just don't know how to express their feelings for
just
each
make
other.
Make out already.
Yeah. Cameron Avery actually had a good comment on one of the CIS magazines.
Is that what he said?
He said, now kiss.
Yeah, that's how I feel every time.
That's how I feel.
I hear the
come
back
on, just hug it out,
the
boys.
Amount of tension there is just...
Yeah. Cut it with a knife.
But it is interesting to think about how, like for us, our sport, we do think of the championship race as the most important thing in the year. And I think all of us would, if we would give up a lot to win a world champs gold or an Olympic gold, like we would come like last in every other race in the year to do it. But I think that Jakob is almost a case against that. Like he is so like loved and famous for just, even though in the last few years he's failed to win his 1500 meter crown since Tokyo.
Since he won at the Olympics when he was...
Since Tokyo, which, I mean, he did that.
He did do that.
Most epic thing ever. But still, he's... Like, people want to watch Jakob a lot more than they want to watch Josh Kerr.
And Cole. And Yared. Like, it's just...
People want to watch Jakob.
People want to watch him.
They do.
And I think that was an interesting thing where I was asked by people, like, oh, why do you think he did Grand Slam? Like, it's good money. It's good. It's, like, really big publicity. They're going to put a lot of effort in it. And it will be very successful, I imagine. But the thing is, Jakob already has the Diamond League. He already has his perfect
And they're
going to
set that
circuit.
Up for him.
Yeah. They're going to pay him a lot of money to turn up.
He wants.
They're going to set it up the way he wants it. He's going to be in Europe, so it's close for home for him. He has all his fan base there. Like, why would he go to Grand Slam if everything's working for him with the Diamond League circuit? I hope to see him in Grand Slam.
It would be awesome.
I think 3K, 5K for him, like, it's funny Josh making that an insult, because honestly that'd be epic for him just to come in and just win it and be like, okay, I have fun, see ya, give me my paycheck,
yeah,
and then pisses off. Like, that would be epic. That would just be showing like that's how good he is.
Yeah, I mean, the 3K, 5K field is so sick as well.
Yeah, it is
to
awesome.
Throw Jakob in the mix, I mean, everyone would be very afraid, because
people would be very terrified.
He would be close to impossible to beat if he's in his form.
But would you prefer him in an 8:15 or 3 or 5K
but
to
I
watch?
Would.
To watch?
I would prefer him in 8:15.
I would prefer him in 8:15
That's
as
the
well.
Thing, because it would it'd be a challenge
because
him
what
in
if
a
he
way
won?
That we haven't seen
What if
before.
He won?
Yeah.
What would Josh say after that?
Yeah.
Like, Josh would have to probably go back on him and say, well, I was wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know if you'd say that, but...
Yeah, there's nothing...
There's nothing he could say.
No, because that is the reality, is that Jakob is so good at the other one that it would be more exciting to see him do the one which...
It's more of a challenge for him.
Yeah, and also like a lot of those... Well, I'm thinking no. Kerr and Cole... Actually, I'm thinking about how that would be amazing if Jakob was in it, because they are all different types of 1500 meter runners that are currently in it. Not talking about Arof right now, but Kerr, Cole, and Yared all have very different racing styles, kind of.
Mm.
So... If you threw Jakob in there, that would be
pretty epic,
pretty crazy. But we'll see. I don't think he'll do it, to be honest. I just don't think he will.
No, I don't think he will. It doesn't make sense for him for that time of year. And
they can't pay him a ton of money because they only pay, I think it, everyone gets 5,000. Yeah.
And he probably makes just as much from the Diamond League as what the Grand Slam offers. So
yeah,
I'm sure he gets looked after very well with the Diamond League, and they'll keep him there because they want him to be the guy that everyone comes and watches, which he is.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. So yeah, we'll see. It'll be, yeah, he'll just be dominating the Diamond League circuit. So
100%.
That'll be cool. Did you see the results of the Valencia 10K?
Yeah. I saw, I'm going to butcher his name.
Andreas.
Almagren. Dude, 26:50 low. 53 maybe?
Yeah.
Insane.
European record.
Insane. Super, super stoked for him though. That's a sick run.
It is so good.
And then Dominic was second or third for on.
Yeah, was he second or third?
He was, on podium.
I think he was third in the end.
But awesome run for him.
But he
as
was
well.
Doing a lot of the leading, and the way the race played out was crazy because they didn't go out that fast. I think it was like his second 5K was like a 13:09 or 13:10. Like, and so that was like unofficially a European record for the road 5K as
That's
well.
That's insane.
So it was
crazy. Is it net downhill, the Valencia 10?
It's not net downhill, but it's the fastest course ever.
Yeah, I imagine it's pretty.
I mean, all the races in Valencia, from the marathon, the half, and the 10, people just go there and run absolute bananas. So
pretty insane.
Yeah, it was a good race though. It was really just, I mean, Andreas is just. He's actually a fan of the pod, so
shout out.
Maybe
to
he's
Andreas.
Listening right
well,
now.
If you're listening,
I don't know.
We love you and good job.
Yeah,
I don't know how to say that in
Swedish.
In Swedish,
no, but it'll be interesting. Now I think his next race. I don't know if he's doing. He might be doing some other races as well, but he's going to compete in the 3K at Europeans.
Oh, awesome!
So that'll be sick. I mean, he's going to have to race, I think, Jakob there.
Yeah, but if you've run a sub 27 on the roads, you should be confident that you've got the strength to race whatever gets thrown at you by Jakob. So.
Yeah, so he'll feel pretty good about that.
Yeah.
But those are our random topics for today. Fun stuff. Now it's time to get onto the meat of it. I think we'll do a little check-in first. So we haven't really checked in, like, with us for a little bit. Ollie, how are things going with you now that you've come back after Chrissy and you've been getting in a couple of those meaty indoor Sunday workouts.
Yeah,
the meat, spicy ones.
The meat and two veg. Yeah, no, it's been nice. For me, this part of the year is always the most fun to train. It's hard.
Is your favorite?
It's like my favorite
time of year. When we start hop because of the indoor track?
I think the indoor track, but also it starts to feel like, oh, we're back on the track. We're back doing specific workouts, kind of.
Yeah.
Not too crazy. Like, the summer training is, like, epic, but we're getting to the meat of things, and it's been really fun. Obviously missing Morgs and Joe because they're prepping for stuff on the roads. But we're having Dylan and Kai jump in and Robert, which has been super fun. And like, things have been going really well for me progressively. Like, I'm not getting dropped on workouts anymore for the longer stuff. So like the fartleks and the threshold stuff. I think me and Morgan as well as others have realized that like we're not that good on the treadmill compared to other people on the team. But it's all about just chipping away at the sessions, and the past two indoor workouts we've done have been like just incredibly fun and really, really cool to be able to run with the boys. And yeah, it does blow your mind. I think Dylan mentioned it the other day. It's like, dude, like you get in the track and you're just on the line and the tempo, and you look at like each athlete and like how good they are. And it's like, you take that for granted for sure when you've been part of this team for such a long time. So I definitely take full advantage of that, but it's been super fun. It's fun seeing Robert.
How's he doing?
The comparisons with the European to the American kind of style of training is like, oh, we don't do this. This we do not do.
We would never do this.
This we don't do. Oh no, we wouldn't do this. Yeah. Like the way he talks about it and stuff is quite fun, but like he executes the workout well, and he's
loving it, right?
He's loving it. He's loving the different change of stimulus, I think, because because it's different and exciting and challenging. Well, challenging is a strong word. He looks amazing every time he's running. So he's going to be pretty awesome and pretty cool to watch in the indoor season coming up. But it's been awesome. It's been great running with the fellas. Mario's doing really well too. Hopefully Mario will be back with the main group in the next few weeks, which is exciting. He pretty much just did our workout on Sunday. It looks fantastic. His progression has been has been awesome. So it's great to see everyone doing so well, and I don't know, it just makes you excited for everything. And the women look incredible. They kind of beat us on the workout day on Sunday.
You reckon?
I don't know if Cinta told you this, but they were all running together and they were all crushing it. They were running like 2 seconds quicker each rep, and yeah, they all felt amazing and all taking turns leading. And Yeah, it was pretty awesome to see, honestly, for the women's side. And that was definitely hard to follow after that, because I think Dathan and Kelsey were more psyched about their workout than ours. But
bro, the coaches get real psyched on Sunday at the track.
They get real.
There's a lot of energy in there.
I don't know if Dathan goes to bed. I think he's just up all night, just really excited about
it. Doesn't need any caffeine. His adrenaline is just pumping.
Just pumping. But no, it's been great, and that's pretty much my check-in. Gus is doing well. Gus update is his grandma, my mum, came and visited, and he got spoiled, had 2 or 3 walks a day, got fed various amount of treats and exciting things, and got a new bed. I got this bed thing, Morgs, that's on the couch. Mm-hmm. So he can sit on that bed and not make a mess on the couch, and it's actually been really working pretty well, and the bed's super comfy.
Yeah, wow.
So it's a little like dog bed thing on the couch, and he's been loving it. So
amazing.
Yeah, it's been good. It's been good on this side. So that's my update.
Lovely, lovely. Well, my update is that I'm racing a half marathon in a few days.
Ooh.
Sunday, the Houston Half. Man, I'm very excited for it. I'm really pumped. The only thing I'm not excited for is that the race is at 6:45 in the morning, Central Time. So that's 5:45 here in Boulder. Not pumped for that, because what time do I have to wake up at? Let's see. Let's say you wake up 3 hours before a race, which is pretty reasonable. Dude, that's an early morning.
Quarter to four?
It's quarter to two. It's a three, I think.
Quarter to three.
If I go
2:45?
Well, I guess I'm thinking like I'm going to still be in kind of like Boulder time, I suppose.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I guess quarter to four there, like, oh, dude, that's going
to
suck.
Quarter to three. I mean, you're just going to have to go to bed at like 4 p.m.
I think I might just not sleep. I might just pull an all-nighter and just roll through. I think
I remember you telling me in college that like the sleep the night before to a race doesn't really matter. It really
matters.
I don't
really
believe
in it.
It's really the week before.
Yeah.
Like so, the whole week leading up is really important.
Yeah. Hopefully that is what matters in this case, and I can take care of that. And then by the time you get to the race night, you just do what you can.
Yeah.
And then you wake up early, you take a bunch of caffeine, and then you go with your buddies.
With
you go line up.
Do you get in a bus or do you guys walk to the...
You get a bus. I think the hotel is close to the start line, but I think to get back to like the elite athlete area, I think you need to be on the bus. So yeah, I think it's like a big process of corralling everyone onto the bus at a very early hours.
I imagine everyone's going to be super excited about that.
The vibes are going to be... There's going to be a lot of nervous energy.
A lot of like super serious. Like
Yeah. I'm going to be pretty... serious,
I think,
maybe.
Yeah, I mean, you'll be serious, but it'd be interesting with Joe, because Joe's already an early riser. He gets up pretty early usually, so he probably will be alive.
Yeah, he'll be up at that time anyway.
Yeah, what about Morgan Pearson? Is he going to do any riding or swimming before the race? Just
yeah,
to get his
I
legs
think
going?
I think that's he needs to, otherwise he can't run at his best.
Yeah,
so
he'll be in the pool all night and cycling all night to get ready for the race.
I think he has to. But no, things have been going really well. I just realized that. Because we did do the Woody doubleheader, I think that with my little injury scare that I had, I don't think I even talked about it on the podcast.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Because
no, you didn't.
The thing is, I've been making a bunch of YouTube videos, so I've talked about it through those videos. So I was kind of getting my wires crossed a little bit there. But so, yeah, 2 weeks ago, kind of like just a few days after we last recorded, I actually had a slight disc bulge in my L5-S1 down in the lower back. And I'll kind of skip through it. I won't tell like the full story, but it was a decent injury scare, because I went from like feeling fine in the morning to that evening, like I couldn't lie down properly without like a lot of pain.
You couldn't stand up and walk.
I couldn't walk without like a lot of help. So I was like pretty cooked for a little bit there. And I really thought that I had a sacrum stress fracture just because of where it was. I wasn't like 100%, but I thought like 50 or 60% chance I had done my sacrum. I mean, I've never had an injury. I haven't had that injury before, so I didn't know. But based off seeing you when you had it, like I know that you went from like being fine to like struggling to walk in a similar kind of.
Yeah. When Cinta told me like what would happen with it, I was like, shit, that sounds exactly like me after the workout. At Davidson Mason.
So that's what I was afraid of.
The stress reaction. So.
But
it was a bit scary.
It was very scary, and then luckily I was able to get. Like amazing treatment not treatment specifically. I did get amazing treatment, but amazing overall like support. And I was able to get an MRI really quickly, like on the next day, which was super important. I got it diagnosed, and then that showed us what it was, rather than me stressing and not knowing.
So what do you do with something like that?
So for me, there's a few things, and everyone that was part of the medical team was amazing. From Jason was really helpful because a lot of his clients that he see have the same type of injury, which makes sense as a chiro. Dr. Cabalas was amazing helping out. Kurt was great. Koki, who's our new, I don't even know what his role is officially. Do you know what, like what you'd call him? Our new treatment guy?
The new treatment guy.
I don't know what you
call him. The in-house treatment guy.
Yeah, he was amazing. And also Kyle, Kyle Buck. I got to see him on the same day that I came down to get it treated, which was amazing. But so pretty much the plan was to, yeah, once I got the diagnosis, it was like, all right, let's start treating this and doing as exercises. Very, very light exercises at first. Like real easy, not trying to like stress it at all. But I'd got like a bunch of like safe, like soft tissue work done in the area and some like adjustments. And then I started getting like a lot of needling done as well, like in the lower back, like around that area. So I was kind of doing that, and straight away, like that made it feel quite a lot better. Like the same day I got the MRI, I got treatment from both Koki and Kyle, and already I could like walk. Not normally, but I could walk like 80%. Whereas before getting the treatment, my walking was literally like 10 or 20%.
You just couldn't do
it. I just couldn't really do it. Yeah. So that made a huge difference. And once I got to that point, one thing that Jason was always emphasizing to me is that for an injury like this, you don't want to like sit down for too long. Like sitting is like bad for it. And you don't want to like stay static. You actually want to do like as much movement as you can, because that's good for it and really good for the healing. So I was trying to keep walking around. And then he also had me aqua jogging a lot, because aqua jogging was pretty much the only safe cross training that I could do. Like I couldn't bike and I couldn't elliptical, because those both put way too much like stress through the area. But aqua jogging was really good because it allowed me to, one, get like a workout in, so like kind of stay on that schedule. But two, I think the just like being in the water in the belt and doing activity is just also like really good for your body. Like the decompression.
Yeah. The decompression.
Like,
been really good.
Like Jason always, like, even if we're fully healthy, like yeah. He likes us going in water for the recovery aspects. And yeah, specifically for this one, like when I would get out of the water after doing a 16 minute aqua jog, like it felt better walking around than before. So I did a lot of that. And so every day it was just about chipping away, doing more treatment, the aqua jogging, and then exercises. And luckily within, like, I probably wouldn't recommend this to everyone unless you're able to have, like, as much attention as I was able to get. But I think I was back running after 4 or 5 days. So it was pretty rapid.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty rapid. And then I worked out, I think, 6 days after it happened. So, yeah. And then it took about 10 days to 2 weeks for me to feel, like, 100%. So that was kind of how it went. And yeah, I was really lucky that I was able to get so much good treatment and just do like the right exercises and stuff for it. Like all that was taken care of so well. So yeah, that happened. That happened, which I didn't love that, but it
wasn't part of the plan.
It was kind of like a best. Once I did have a really sore lower back and I couldn't move, it was kind of best case scenario from there. So that was good. So yeah, because there was obviously a few.
Yeah,
there's a period of time where I was like, oh, I'm not going to be able to even race this half marathon. So since that time, I felt a bit off just like getting back into some harder sessions after like going through like those 4 or 5 days off completely. The body has been a bit tired. And right now I'm a little bit tired, but I still have quite a few days until the race. So,
yeah, I mean, that wouldn't have done much too. Like your overall fitness is like, exactly no. The same. It's just more the stimulus, right? Just like the actual feeling of running that quick, or like having your body go through that. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like I don't think it's going to have any impact on me.
I don't think so.
When I get to the race. So
I don't know much, but I don't think so.
Yeah.
But after what I've seen you guys do.
I'm still nervous, excited for just the idea of running a half marathon, because the thing is, it's a long way.
It is a long way. It's the longest you would have ever run.
Yeah, it's the longest I've ever raced before by over double. I've run 2 10Ks in my life, and neither of them have. Well, one of them was conference in college, so that was kind of like a kickdown race. So that wasn't
with flats.
Like, yeah, that wasn't like really a proper 10K. And then I raced 1 10K as a pro, and that didn't go that well. But also, like, I was pretty banged up at the time, so like it probably wasn't ever going to go that well.
Also, I was pacing and it was way too quick for anyone.
I mean, it's good for Joe.
Good for Joe. That was it, yeah. And that's what I was
Joe and a
for.
Couple of others. But yeah, so this is a real new challenge. I'm so excited for the idea of road racing.
I think road racing is going to be fun. I think it's going to be more enjoyable than, I mean, what a shocker. More enjoyable than running a 10K on the track.
Yeah.
If Jordy was here, he'd also agree with me. The half marathon, I think, is just such a better event when it comes to just engagement, I think.
Yeah.
It's like you can lose your mind a little bit.
Yeah,
10K.
The field is pretty crazy this year
field
for the
is
race.
Very good.
I have I can't even like read through it because on the list that Citrus Mag posted, it's like a million. It's like so many people. But the ones that are I'll mention just a couple. Pat Tin is racing it.
Paddy,
which is pretty sick. This is the same place that he ran his 207 last year.
Yeah.
In the full, so he obviously loves it. And then we have Joe, who's ready to freaking crush. Morgan Pearson, who's been training with us and has been absolutely crushing as well. Then we have, like, because it's been touted as a bit of an American record attempt, which Joe has definitely switched on to do that. And then up against him is also Connor Mance and Clayton Young. So he's getting a race against the U.S. We're getting to race against, like, the U.S.'s
top marathoners,
which is going to be super exciting. We have Jamal Yima, who is from Ethiopia, and he's won it, I don't know if it's just once before, but he has a 58.33 PB to his name.
That's crazy.
So there's three people under 60 PBs, which is pretty unreal. Callum Hawkins is on the start list. Do you remember that name?
I do remember that name.
He's like British legend, but he's been dealing with stuff for quite a few years now. So
yeah. When's the last time he's run like a big race?
I did see that he returned to some races last year, but they weren't like the level
that he was at before that.
We have, Ben Farney. What was your nickname for Ben? Only Flans?
Only Flans. That was Jordy. Jordy was Only Flans.
Ben
Filet-Mignon Young.
Yeah, he's going to be in it. Footsam Zena Selassie.
Really?
Yeah, Reed Fisher, Andrew Colley.
A lot of people, a lot of names that we know in that race.
Yeah, it's just going to be like it's literally just like a lot of people that we know, so that's going to be fun. You know who else is in it? Schwabe.
Yeah, I saw Schwabe post on his story. I was like, oh, that's pretty sick. Because he's with Brooks
Hansen's. Yeah. So that's going to be sweet.
So that'd be his first race as a pro, I think.
I think he raced at US Cross? Club Cross, I think. And he did pretty well there. So he's I think it'd be maybe his first road race, which is going to be sweet. Patrick Diva is in it, who he had a really great year last year in both the 5K and the 10K. So it'd be interesting.
Is he a CU alum?
Patrick Diva, no. He went to Tulsa, I think.
Oh.
I could be wrong. He's British.
He's British?
Yeah, he's part of the Puma.
Oh, he definitely didn't go to see you then.
Yeah, he's an international.
Yeah.
So that's some of the names. So it'll be a crazy field. But, you know, you see these start lists and there's like all these amazing names on it. But then it's like, I'm sure a lot of people will go out pretty hard with the pace and all that. But then, you know, it's always by like 15K or 10K, 15K. It's always going to be like still a small group.
Do you have a race plan already?
Yeah, I'm just going to sit on Joe.
That's what I would do. I would sit on Joe for as long as I can. Because Joe, I feel like Joe as well, like he'll take the pace. And also, he's very strong. And he's very good at holding a certain pace as well. I think he's just going to be the perfect pacemaker.
The
if you can
with
stay
Joe
with him.
Is that, you know how, so Joe is, we know like as his training partner, he's so strong.
Yeah.
Running from the front. But in races, he's very tactical.
He's just behind Grant.
Yeah.
He does sit behind Grant. But in track though, do you reckon that will change with the
I
roads?
Think he'll be trying to key off someone.
Connor Mance?
Maybe. I think it depends what form Connor Mance is on the day and if he's like making his moves like out the front, which he likes to do often in races. I think Joe does. I actually don't know. Like, I don't know if Joe will stick on him like glue or if Joe will kind of let, because Connor Mance might do like some little surges. And I don't know if Joe will try to run a more even rhythm. I really actually don't know. But
it's going to be interesting either way, I think.
It'll be interesting either way. And my plan, like my overall plan, I'm trying to not really like overthink it. And I just want to get out there and race. And just be like obviously very tough. Like I want to go out fast and just be really engaged, stick with it. And I just want to try to compete. Like I want to be, I mean, if someone just like does something stupid and goes like really fast, like I'll let them go. But aside from that, I want to be up there competing in that top pack and like ultimately competing for the win. If I can, like that's what I want to go out and try to do and see where that takes me. And yeah, because I think for me, this race is, it's nice because I don't really have like crazy expectations with it. You know, like I'm not putting like this big pressure on it. It's not like a race where like I have like a standard to hit or something.
Yeah.
It's more a race where like, you know, we've been doing some really, really good training for it for a couple months now. And it's a good like kind of anchor point for me at this point in the season. And I think I'm excited. I think I have like a lot of good potential at it. And that's really exciting to me. But yeah, I don't think there's any reason to like stress about like, oh, I really want to run like this specific time. I think if I can go out there and race and compete really hard, you know, that stuff will all get taken care of. And
I think that's the exciting thing about it is there should be no like set thing. It's just like you've done like a really incredible block of training. You're super fit. You can just go out there and show off that fitness. Yeah. That's going to be a fun thing to do, I think.
Yeah. So that's kind of my plan with it. And yeah, I think it's going to be awesome. Hopefully we see some Coffee Club fans out there. We got a big squad out there. Actually, I didn't even mention him, but Tom Wang is racing in as well.
T-Wang is racing.
He's coming off his big training block out in Hawaii. So it's going to be sweet to see him out there and see how he can do. He's been training up for this one for a while. Owen's racing it as well.
Owen.
So it'll be, a lot of just like good vibes out there, I think, aside from the really early in the morning part.
Yeah, that's the only thing that's a downer.
But the good thing, I guess, on the flip side.
It's finished early.
You finish early. You get a full day.
What are you going to do with that whole day, though? Just like lay in bed?
Probably. Depending on how I feel. Eat some pizza. Yeah. I think it's like a pizza party after. Probably go eat a lot of food. But I get to travel back here on the same day of the race as
well. That's nice.
So that's actually, pretty nice to get to like sleep in your own bed after doing a big race.
That's actually that's
pretty
nice.
Rare.
Yeah, that is rare.
So, Houston, we're coming at you. I don't know.
Exciting.
Should be good. You got any tips for racing 13 miles?
I guess for me, make sure when you're running that you get a good shot with the camera, because like I feel like a lot of those races, people are behind too many people. If you see the camera, just kind of make sure you get seen. So it's good content for photos later on when you're going to post on social.
Should I do a bit of a Parker Valby where, do you remember at Cross when she got criticized for not running the tangents?
Oh yeah, that's right.
And everyone else is running the tangents. Yeah. I'll pull a little.
You could pull a Parker Valby, or you could do you could just run straight to the front and then just
celebrate
and then go back
and then get tucked back right back in.
Yeah.
I might do that. I would be happy if this is one of those races where I'm kind of like a ninja and like you don't see me the whole time.
And then all of a sudden at the end you win it. That'd be so funny. It's like, oh, and Morgan McDonald comes through and wins. You're like, and then he goes, I don't know what happened. I was just there. And then the finish came and I just ran. And
yeah,
that'd be pretty epic actually.
Yeah. So
yeah,
we'll see. All right. Unfortunately, I don't think George is going to be able to make it today.
No, I got we
had a little scheduling
thing
today. No, but I guess, is he back next week?
I think he's back next week. I think it's, he should be back next week.
Okay.
At least, he'll be back next
week. He'll definitely be on the podcast next week.
I know. We've been missing him.
Hopefully in person.
Yeah. Geordie, I mean, you guys know what the New Zealanders are like. Their Wi-Fi is shit.
Yeah.
They only have like 2 bars at best.
Yeah.
So
what are you going to do?
What are you going to do about it?
But is there anything else for our lovely fans out there for today?
Hopefully. Oh, yeah. Also, we got called out on social media recently. Did you see this?
Which one?
I think it was Parsons saying, oh, Coffee Club, but we actually drink coffee.
Yeah.
And then he tagged us in it. And I was like, because Robert was there with them. And he's like, oh, I didn't repost it because they were giving you shit, but we drank coffee in the coffee. And it's like, yeah, we drink coffee in the Coffee Club podcast. So just to let you guys know, we aren't drinking coffee this episode, but we do have beans and we do drink coffee. So coffee is still a part of our formula here at Coffee Club. Just want to
For the Woody talk episode, out to Sam. We had coffee.
Yeah. So Sam, sit your butt down.
Watch yourself.
We drink coffee, bruv.
He made a funny comment to me at the track yesterday. He was like, he kind of brought that up and then he said, how did he phrase it? He said like... He said, like, I've been trying to stop watching the podcast as if he's an addict.
Yeah.
And
He's addicted. He doesn't want to give us support. He's like, nah, you guys are the competition.
I've been trying to stop, but I can't.
It's just so good. I just love hearing Morgan's voice.
So who knows if he'll hear this or not.
Yeah. Well, shout out to Sam.
Yeah, shout out to Pastor Ernie. That's his second shout out this episode, actually.
Dude, he's doing well. That's more than Mike Smith.
Yeah, good episode for him. All right, well, that's episode, I guess, 169. Sorry that we're in close for this one.
Yeah.
We'll have to celebrate episode 169.
We can't do it without George.
Yeah, we'll have to wait for him. But, yeah, that's it from us. Thank you guys so much for listening. And we look forward to seeing you all again next week. See ya.